I'm excited about sharing in this fifth session on simply what do we do from here, you know, once we've established this core group. There's a big word called critical mass. We start to come to penetrate our society, but also in the spiritual realm, the witness begins to increase. You know, because the more we worship in an area, the more the spiritual realm opens up for God to begin to move, and even for angelic visitations and breakthrough in the spiritual realm. So as we're building and as we're beginning to be patient about the seasons that we are in, we're growing all the time. And that's why it's so important that obedience to God and what God is saying in that specific area, in your life, in the season that you're in your relationships, you have to grow to what God is telling you. You cannot compare yourself to other churches, to other places, to other communities and say, you know, oh, you know, because I'm here, this is the worst place ever. There's more demons and Satanists in this place than any other part in the world together. You know? We always hear that because everybody has got their battles to fight. Everybody has got a walk of faith. And that's so important that we walk by faith and not by sight. We have to start walking by faith. We have to say, Lord, the things that you have told us, the promises, we're going to stick to that. And we're going to grow in that. We're going to focus on that. So we've got this whole birth phase, this first part of praying and interceding. And then the whole structures and the relationships, God begins to add to the church. And there's some things that we need to know as we start right. Because remember, a seed can only produce after its own kind. If the seed is corrupt, you're going to produce corrupt other seed and fruit. So we have to preserve that seed, and we must make sure that what God starts with, we also take strong leadership, that we don't allow other people to come and steal the ministry or come and take or come and defile, because the devil is very busy, and he will even send people along your way that will distract you. It's like Nehemiah. Nehemiah is sitting on the wall, and he's got this sword in the one hand and the truffle in the other hand. So he must build, but he must also fight. And then if you go and read that story, it's a very powerful story on how we establish things. You get great principles out of there. Then the guys come and say, no, come off the wall. Come off the wall and let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. Lots of distractions will come your way. But it's so important that we remain focused. And like David said, Lord, that I have faced like flint before you. Lord, unite my heart so that I can fear your name and be able to walk in that place where we focus on what God has done and what he is doing and what he tells us to do. And that's simply the basis of the fear of God in our lives, because we respect God more than what we respect people. So some principles is very important that we don't go for too quick and sort of an instant thing, numerical growth. You know, some people just want to go for the numbers, and then they don't disciple people properly. And remember, again, you need the same vision, the same heart, so that you can grow. If you just go for the numbers and you go for the big crowds, you're going to have a sort of a mixed multitude, because you're going to attract a lot of people with lots of baggage that were not happy at another church, and now they come to join your church, and they add all their baggage to your church, and you're going to do counseling until you're blue in the face. That's why I always say, if you want to not be deceived, then get unbelievers that just got saved, get new believers into your life. They're going to ask you all the basic questions on salvation. They're going to ask you all the basic questions on how do we do this and how do we pray and how do we spend time in the Word. Otherwise, we become very complicated and we, in a sense, lose focus on why we are there. So don't just go for the numbers. When it's birthed by God, God will add the numbers. Obviously, there's strategy and all these things, but it's important that we remain focused. Then we also need to implement sustainable things, because what happens many times is you start small and now you somehow want to do 3 Bible schools in the first year and you only have 10 people. It's not going to work, you know, or if you do want to do all the encounters. So start with 1 or 2 encounters. Start with what God is saying. Don't just start with all the community development stuff and all those things. And then you stretch yourself out so far that you can't get around to the very basics and the things that God is telling you. And that is discipleship. First, establish people in the faith and let them grow. And as they grow, the ministry grows with you. And the ministry grows with this core group of people. That way God adds the worship leaders and God adds the people. Because really simply, he will draw the people. We have got strategy and we consecrate it to God. But what many people do is they say, let's do cheap tricks. Let's get people into the church and do sheep stealing and all those things. And you know what? People are going to come to your church from other churches. But we're never out there to win other sheep. We're not there to do sheep stealing. We're not there to do fancy tricks and be hypocrites. because that's the word hypocrite, is the word actor, where people pretend to be something that they're not really on. We say, oh, we've got this massive, amazing children's church, and when people come there, there's just like two toys lying around and there's nobody looking after the kids. Don't create false expectations, and don't put people into a show and do show business, because sometimes you have one opportunity. Sometimes you have one place where you can connect with people, and that's why it's so important that as you grow, you teach your people and you train your people to be ushers at the door that welcome people, and they see it's a ministry. So that when people come in, they feel welcome. So grow with your capacity. It's like natural. We do that. You know, when we're children, we don't expect our five-year-old child to be able to drive the car. And too many people look at big ministries and other big churches, and then they try to be like that church from the word go. Obviously, you have to have the right culture and you have to have the right heart. But in that place, allow yourself space and give yourself space to grow as a group as well. Our main focus, obviously, is to reach the lost. Our main focus is to be able to penetrate our societies, get people that are really out of darkness, and begin to train them. Because it's so much easier to train people that have got no clue and that are really hungry and desperate for God than living with a religious crowd that has got lots of different backgrounds and hurt in other churches. Because most of the times when people will come from another church to your church is because they're not happy there. But the problem is they're not going to be happy with you. They're not going to be happy with stuff in your life. Well, they're going to try to impose another culture. And we must not be afraid of culture, but we must have great respect for the culture where people come from. And so what I've seen many times is people make a big mistake is there's somebody that's wealthy that comes into church. And you're a group of 30 people planting a church. And now suddenly that guy gets a speaking opportunity and because he gives lots of money and he supports, and we become desperate for money, then we shoot ourselves in the foot, because that person is probably not well discipled and has got a big ego, and then starts to manipulate and control. And immediately what's beginning to happen is you're not getting onto God's page, you're getting onto people's page, and you make that person an elder too quickly, and you appoint leaders too quickly that are not necessarily spiritual, but in the natural that can add a lot to the church. But then we're going to make big mistakes. So it's important that we have patience, that we stay praying up, you know, pray ourselves up and be ready. God will add the people, but we must also test the spirits of people that are being added. You are going to make lots of mistakes. And I think for many of us, especially in the West, we come out of a fear motivation. We're afraid of failure. But you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes with people. You're going to make mistakes with the people that you appoint sometimes. And give yourself lots of grace when you start off as a group. Learn people's giftings and begin to walk in them and begin to trust God that as you grow together, you're going to have lots of grace also. Because it's hard work to start off. It's not an easy, comfortable place because it's all hands on deck. Everybody must minister. Everybody's there. And anybody that just sometimes seems willing, they become a small group leader or becomes worship leader. And he just knows like two chords on his guitar. And it's like, you know, it's like, you know, but don't force people too quickly into stuff. You know, rather play CDs that are better, that people at least can worship, than putting somebody up there that now can, you know, like goes for those two chords and trust for a Holy Spirit impartation for something to change immediately, you know, and then everybody goes home frustrated because at least we gave somebody an opportunity, you know. So let people grow and, you know, let them make mistakes, but we must also be respectful to where people are at, and then from that place begin to move out. So change, that's part of the agenda. You're going to change a lot and you're going to grow together and allow in a relationship for all of us and that core group to be able to make mistakes and to change together and to grow. There are certain phases of this church planting that's very important that you understand that. That it comes a place where you have to, even if there's a leader, have to wean people off a little bit from him. Because then you can't just be 30 people anymore. You're going to be 3,000 people. And then everybody can't come and visit at your home on a Saturday night and have a nice pry. It's not going to work. So there's some logical, practical things that we also need to implement. So appointing leaders, you need to appoint them very wisely. You need to make sure that you test the spirits of those leaders, that you give them room to grow, and that you also be respectful for the culture of other church people that are coming your way. Even if they tell you, God has sent me here, God has told me that you're going to come here and I'm here to serve you, then, you know, I get it many times. People come and say, oh, the Lord has got a message for me. He wants me to preach. And then the first thing I do is I say, okay, that's great. You've got a message. Will you come and help me pack chairs on Sunday morning before the church? 90% of those people never pitch. Because, no, I've got a message, you know. Who are you to tell me to pack chairs? You know? So test the servant heart. Test the what is in the DNA of that person. Because you want like-minded people, and especially Christ-like people. Because they're going to be your leaders, and they're the people that you must trust as you grow. I'm not just talking about the individual, but also obviously of the whole core group as we start to trust God for things. And the same principles is for your small group, where you are, if you want to start a small group in your workplace, and we're going to do a practical no-no on that. There are lots of other things just logically that we must think of, because sometimes we're so spiritual. There's a saying that says some people are so spiritually minded that they're of earthly no use. And so it's so important that we understand they're very logical and practical things. Like, where are you going to have a venue? What are you going to, how are you going to start? You know, most people will start in a home. You can't have the home 300 kilometers away from everybody else. They're not going to drive there. It's just illogical. So try to have a place where it's central. Try to make sure that where you start, it's a place that is accessible. You can't have a place down under in the basement. You know, one of the studies have found that one of those important things for people is something like parking. You know, where do you park? And then especially if you want to grow churches, the children's church, are the kids happy? Because most parents go where the kids are happy. They will go and sit through your boring sermon as long as the kids come out there and their lives are changed and they're excited, because they will drag the parents to the church. And so it's so important that we become very logical and also a bit pragmatic about how do we do stuff, and how do we train people, how do we get into that place of connecting people, because we want to meet needs. But again, God must be welcome first. Because if lives change, if people encounter and experience God and we train them up, then from there they grow and we can become more effective in reaching the lost. So have great respect for the culture. What sometimes people do wrong is they preach, when they start off, they just start to preach against the culture, and they're so against this and they're so against that and they're against that. But it's very important. Know what you're for. Know what you're standing for. It's just a great principle in life. Have confidence in the calling of God on you as a group or what you're doing there. And that's why we live by faith. But don't be negative and start to come against this and come against that. Because in every culture, there's something that you can redeem. There's something that you can trust God for will break open, and you can take that beautiful thing that he has put there in that culture and obviously establish church through that, relationships through that. But there are also negative things of every culture, and we need to have respect for that. But you're not going to start off by being negative, critical, and judgmental all the time and preach your turn or burn sermons. Then you're going to not attract the people, and they're not going to feel loved. So it's almost that balance as to what does God tell you to do, and also having respect for the group of people. And that's why assessment of where you are at and what the needs of the community are very important when we want to reach other people. So our challenge is to think through these things and to strategize. And that's why it's good when people are starting off, and especially for us as a movement, we think through these things, we pray through these things, and even a year or 2 years ahead, we would start to plan. We'd think, okay, how are we going to reach Canada? And how are we going to reach Europe? Because Europe is going to function completely different than what we would, for instance, reach a place in Africa. Because in Africa, many times there's no electricity, there's no internet. So to tell them, go on the show for online TV and things like that, that's not going to work, because they can't even get fast internet in many areas. But in Europe, you can work much more through technology and things like that. So we're going to do a bit of a practical exercise, and it's in your notes. But simply, we want you to consider a specific situation where you are going to plant a small group. Because don't think in terms of just church, but in your area, where are you going to plant a small group? And we're going to try to do that in a sense of saying, okay, what do you need if you're going to start at a place like Sanlam, a corporate financial institution? You've just started working there. What are the basic things that you're going to put in place to be able to start a small group there? Are you going to pray first, or what are you going to look at? What type of assessment are you going to do? So in this practical, like in Sanlam or specifically in a school, and you, your facilitator will choose one of the two, but say you need to start in a school like Paul Rus or a big school like that, how are you going to start a small group there? You're now a teacher there, or you've just come into the res. So we're going to formulate a specific practical way for you to do that, and look at maybe 5 or 6 things that you need to add, and you need to say, this is what we're going to do, and this is how I'm going to reach it. Not think of the pastor, but how I'm going to reach that specific community.